This is a day that the Lord has made. Let us what? Rejoice and be glad in it. I'm glad and happy for the beautiful weather. I'm happy for the grace of God and happy that you're here with us. Hallelujah. 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 And it makes me sing. 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 Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain. Your love is a mystery. How you gently lift me when I am surrounded. Your love carries me. Surprising, I can feel it rising, all the joy that's brewing deep inside of me. Every time I see you, all your goodness shines through. I can feel the star song rising up in me. Invite you, if you're watching streaming on Facebook Live, why don't you share and invite your friends to have a watch party with you and join us in this time of worship and fellowship together. Changed by the power of the cross. by the power of the cross. Oh, precious one that was slain, you washed me clean, remove the stain.
Baby.
never stop working, never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see everywhere again, even when I don't think that you're working, never stop, never stop working.
Still your love.
song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever breathe. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. Live for you.
There is no one like you. There is none beside.
break every chain, 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 break every chain. Are riddled with anxiety and worry and stress. We need you, Lord. Would you come and touch us today? You're worthy of all praise. Some here have a feeling of heaviness upon their heart and their lives, Lord. Would you come and lighten the load? people here need a miracle that only you can give. That needs to go beyond what man can give. We need you, Jesus. Oh, we need you, Jesus. The tears are flowing down our eyes, down our face. May we surrender to you, Lord Jesus. We surrender. Some people here feel like they try to control everything and everything is falling out of place and they're lost and, Lord, they can't find their way. You're our way maker. We need you, Jesus. We are messy, broken people. You're our healer. We need you, Lord. Some people here have hidden addictions. They're controlled by these things. Lord, but all we need is you. Let us fill you. Let us fill us with your love and power that only you can give. We've tried everything. Nothing seems to work, but Lord, you work. You work miracles. You are a miracle worker, Lord Jesus. You are a chain breaker. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We need healing in our legs, healing in our hands, healing in our hearts, healing in our minds, healing from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. Would you fill us, Lord? We love you, Jesus. Would you fill us, Lord Jesus? Fill us, Lord Jesus. We love you. Give us a grateful heart. In the midst of these trials, give us a grateful mind.
Lord, we commit our morning time to you. Lord, what an incredible time of worship this morning. How incredibly precious it was to know and to sense and to feel the presence of your Holy Spirit just sweep through this parking lot, Father God. Lord, what an incredible time. And I pray, Lord, that those that are at home as well are sensing and feeling and just immersed in your presence this morning, that the Holy Spirit has been free to enter homes and to enter hearts and to just minister to lives this morning, Lord God. And I pray that that would continue to be the case. Lord, that you would speak to us, teach us, and encourage us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's not nearly as hot up here this week. I brought my sweat rag just in case, but, you know, it's much cooler up here this morning. I'm going to start this morning by asking you a question, and of course, it's not something you need to answer out loud, just something to think about in your minds this morning, beginning to share the word. Where would we be without the law? Where would we be without the law? Seems like a pretty appropriate question for today, doesn't it? Can you imagine if no law existed? If there were no grounds, if there were no standards for people to base their behavior on, could you imagine what the world would look like without the law? Now, of course, the law that's in question that we're talking about here this morning is not so much the man-made law of governments and rules, but the moral law given to us through the Word of God. Most of us would at least consider the major part of that law as the Ten Commandments. We know there's the Mosaic law, and there's all kinds of sacrifices and offerings that are made, but the major portion of that law are those Ten Commandments. What if those did not exist? Let's think about that for just a moment this morning. And before we even start thinking about it, let's say this. It doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what religious affiliation you may or may not have. Doesn't even matter how you feel about the Ten Commandments. Just imagine for a minute if they did not exist. What would this world look like? We wouldn't have to worry about worshiping. There would not be any specific God to worship. Anything or everything could be considered a God of some sort. You think we have a lot of different religions now. Can you imagine if there was no moral law or biblical standard for what God is or was? People would worship just anything they ever wanted to, or wouldn't worship anything at all. Nothing would be considered sacred, because for something to be sacred, it would have to point to deity. And if there is no deity, then nothing could be considered sacred. Respect for others would be non-existent. Especially thinking about elders. You know, the old phrase, the old saying, respect your elders, that simply would not exist. Personally, we can talk about our parents. There would be zero need to respect our parents. Killing someone really wouldn't matter. It could be easily justified. In fact, with no law, you wouldn't have to worry about justifying it. It simply would be okay. There would be no basis for right or wrong. So how could killing be considered wrong? Wrong just simply wouldn't exist. Lying, stealing, committing adultery, no one would look down on those things. They would just be a normal part of life. And who would care about your neighbor or your neighbor's goods or your neighbor's spouse? The attitude there would simply be, if theirs is better, let's get more than mine. There would be no concern for anybody. Imagine what this world would look like without the law. Now, the sad reality is that we have the law, and a lot of people still choose to live as if we don't. We certainly cannot address everyone. We cannot address the rest of the world today, but I can say this. As Americans, we have been incredibly good at, in fact, we've become masters at justifying our actions. We set out to find all the different loopholes that exist. We look for the exceptions to the rule. We hunger after and we strive to find the tiniest bit of gray in a canvas of black and white. In many cases, we treat the law, the commandments, the word of God as a whole. Many of us treat it as a magic eye puzzle. You know the puzzles that I'm talking about. They're those beautiful, colorful pictures that just look like a bunch of wavy lines. But if you focus in on one of those puzzles and you pay attention to it, you can find a hidden image deep within that picture. See, we're okay with looking at the surface and seeing those pretty, beautiful, colored lines that are on that paper. But we don't want to spend the time or the work that's involved in looking any deeper into the details of that lie within those pictures. many times as believers, we say we want God to transform us. But many times what we say is, God, make changes to me. When what we really should be saying is, God, make changes in me. See the difference there? Make changes to me versus make changes in me. Simple two-letter words are incredibly powerful and make a huge difference in what we're asking God to do in our lives. We here have spent the last few weeks talking about being holy, about reflecting that holiness of our God. The law that we're given, and primarily, again, those Ten Commandments that we are given, they are the foundational structure of that command to be holy. If indeed we are going to be holy as we have been called to be, then following the law has got to be vitally important to us. And yes, absolutely, it is true. Today, in our New Testament world, the law, the Ten Commandments, are still important to us. They are still a part of our Christian lives today. Remember, Jesus even said this, recorded in Matthew 5:17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish them, but to fulfill them. The law did not fade away or stop being important or in existence. Today, even so, in our New Testament society, they are still important. I love this. One writer talks about the law and helps us to understand it in a little different context. He says this. He says, think of the law as a fence for your safety and protection. It keeps us from wandering too far, and it holds back those things that are unwanted from getting in. Stay within the fence, and you're safe. Try to run through the fence. Try to hurdle the fence, try to get past the fence in some way, and you will wind up with injury. And Jesus confirmed that fence is still set. That fence still contains the perimeter for us today in those words that were recorded in Matthew. By saying he did not come to abolish it, but to fulfill it, he was affirming that it is still there in place for our protection today. Let's look at a couple of things we may or may not know about the Ten Commandments this morning. First of all, they are called, or another name for them, I should say, is the Decalogue. Have you ever heard that name before? The Decalogue. It comes from two different Greek words, deca, meaning 10, and logos, meaning word. The Decalogue. They are reflections of God Himself. If you look at those words, they talk about who He is, how He expects to be treated, and how He Himself loves and treats people. It's a snapshot, if you will, to the image of our God. Now, as we obey the law that he has given us, we become more like God. We reflect his image. We take on more and more of his characteristics. Or, as you might have guessed, as we are obedient to the law, it leads us down that path of holiness that we are supposed to be walking. The law not only reflects the character of God, but it clearly helps us to know what God expects of us. When talking to the Israelites through the prophet Jeremiah, God told his people that someday he was going to establish a new covenant with them. Listen as I read the words from Jeremiah 31:33. "This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people." God told them, God told us through those words, what was going to become of his law. Did you catch the couple of very specific phrases that were recorded in that verse of scripture? It said, in their minds and on their hearts. That's what it said was going to happen to the law. Well, here's the kicker. It was not until the Holy Spirit was poured out onto man and took residence in man's heart that that occurred. And that occurred at the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was then, at the fulfillment of that, at his resurrection, at the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, at Acts chapter 2, if you will, it was then that the law went from being external to being internal. From being a list of do's and don'ts to being a refining process for our souls. Jesus didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill what was written about the law. Because he came, it is now in our minds and on our hearts, the minds and hearts of God's people. This is why, at least in part, this is why the law is still important to us today. We should also understand that the law has not vanished from Scripture. It did not cease to exist at the end of the Old Testament, as so many think it did. But in fact, the law is repeated clearly throughout New Testament text. No, it may not be listed in that numerical order form that we like to think about it as it was in the Old Testament, the 1 through 10 commands, but it is in the New Testament. And since those commands are still shown in the New Testament, and since they are pivotal to our success in being holy, we are going to go through each of those commands over the next few weeks. We are going to look at where they're present in the New Testament and what they say to us, the New Testament church. Before we get there this morning, we're going to take a little bit more time to look a little bit at some more Old Testament texts, specifically in Exodus, where the Ten Commandments are found. We're going to spend a little bit of time looking at what leads up to these Ten Commandments. We want to see what happens just a little bit beforehand and what we can maybe learn from that this morning. If we were to look at the overall theme or message of Exodus, we would find several different major topics or points there. Here's just a couple of them. If you were to read through Exodus, you would see that God reveals who he is to his people. He talks about his attributes, the things that describe him, the things that make up who he is. Of course, we know he lays out the law or gives the law for his people to follow. And we see how he is to be worshipped. Do we know that Exodus also speaks to redemption? It speaks to the message of salvation in the book of Exodus. Here's just an example, Exodus 15:13. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. Do we ever think about Exodus being a book describing salvation or redemption? And yet it is in there as well. Now, of course, we know that Exodus clearly talks about the Israelites' journey out of Egypt. It describes that whole time where they were set free, delivered from the hand of Pharaoh, taken out of that condition of slavery, brought out into the wilderness and led by God through Moses. Moses was the key leader at that time. He was the one that God used to address his people. Think about this for a minute. He guided them through the wilderness, an unknown journey, unknown path, if you will. Through Moses, God performed many, many miracles, a lot of them having to do with providing for his people. Food, water, shelter, comfort, protection. God interacts, or excuse me, Moses interacts with God the Father on the people's behalf. All through Exodus, Moses is interacting with God on behalf of the Israelites. And he is used to lead them to a future home, that promised land, one of hope and safety and plenty. Now, if you put on your New Testament hats and think New Testament-wise for a minute, does any of that sound familiar to us? Do we see it repeated in the New Testament? Absolutely we do. It's everything that Jesus is doing for his people, both in his time frame and today. Because he continues to, he leads us through life, that path of wilderness, that unknown journey. We don't know what lies ahead for us, but he leads us. He guides us through it. He meets our needs every single day. He has provided for us, even this morning, together in this parking rooms. He has met our needs. And Jesus is mediating before God every day on our behalf. He is talking to the Father for you and I. He stands between us and the holy God that we serve. He is leading us home. He's leading us on that journey to that promised land. Can you see all that reflected in the New Testament this morning? Same thing we saw Moses doing with the Israelites in Exodus. When we get to chapter 19 of Exodus, we read a conversation between Moses and God, one in which God lays out some prerequisites to the law. The Israelites have been gathered together at Sinai at the base of the mountain. They're told not to touch the mountain or go near it. The Lord calls out to Moses, and he's got some very specific instruction for Moses. It's instruction that he wants Moses to pass on to the rest of the Israelites, to God's people. Exodus chapter 19, verses 4 and 5. You yourselves have seen what I did in Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession. Over and over again throughout Scripture, we see prerequisites laid down. We are told to do something, and then the Lord will do what he has promised. In this case, and in many other cases throughout Scripture, it's about obedience. Did you hear the words we read there in Exodus? If you obey me fully. That's a huge prerequisite right there. If you obey me fully. Later in the New Testament, Jesus himself talks about being obedient to the word. He said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Luke 11:28, if you want the reference. Blessed are those who hear the word and obey it. Even in the text we've talked about over the last few weeks in 1 Peter, we stressed the idea, the importance of obedience in order to be holy. Exodus 19, what it is in part at least doing is establishing this baseline. God is about to lay out some rules, rules that must be followed. He says, if you obey me fully. What does he say next? Then you will be my treasured possession. If you obey me, then you will be my treasured possession. Chapter 19 goes on to talk about Moses preparing the people so that they are ready to hear from the Lord. They are ready to receive everything that God has for them. They must get ready for that. In chapter 20, we read the words that we've been talking about this morning, the law, the commandments, the instructions that God gave Moses to pass on to his people, to the Israelites, that would be a guideline for them to live by. We are going to read through these this morning. Exodus chapter 20. There's where you will find those commandments. As we read through them this morning, listen carefully to the words. It's so much more than do or don't or do or don't. Listen carefully. Hear some of the cause and effect that are outlined in these words as we read through this morning. Begin to ask yourself, do I see those still in the New Testament? How might they be applied throughout New Testament text? How might they affect the life that I am supposed to live today? Listen as we read Exodus 20, starting at verse 1. God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to a thousand generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your sons or daughters, nor your manservants, nor maidservants, nor your animals, nor the aliens within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. Give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled in fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen. But do not have God speak to us or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. If we're honest with ourselves, these instructions are much more than just a bunch of rules. They hold in them the key details on what it means to have a right relationship with God. And indeed, they are the foundation of holiness that we are to pursue. While God spoke these instructions through Moses to the Israelites, God speaks through Jesus, his son, today to give us the same instructions in New Testament text. As I told you a little bit ago, over the next several weeks, we are going to look through each of these, explore each of these Ten Commandments, both the Old Testament and the New Testament reference to them. So today, I'm sending you home with homework. Imagine that. Coming to church and getting assigned homework. I encourage you, as we prepare to walk through the Decalogue, those Ten Commandments, I encourage you to read and reread Exodus chapter 20. Ask the Lord to speak to your heart. Ask him to give you new direction, new guidance, new understanding about those instructions that he has clearly laid out for us to follow. Ask him. I guarantee you he'll speak to you. He'll reveal things to you maybe you never picked up on before. We want to be obedient to the scripture and the text that God has given us to be obedient to, so that we too can receive that reward that he has for us. So that we can receive that promise that has been set out for us, so that we too can enter into that promised land as we strive to be holy. Lord, we come before you again this morning. We surrender ourselves to you. We give you everything, Lord. Every part of our lives, every aspect of our lives, we lay them down before you. Lord, I pray, oh God, I pray that every one of us would spend more time peering into the details of your word, seeking those messages that are deep within, understanding every bit of text that you have laid out for us from Genesis to Revelation. God, help us to know how they apply to our lives. Help us to be obedient to them. Lord, as we begin to explore anew your commandments, that Decalogue, those instructions you give us. Lord, reveal to us something that we need to perhaps change or do differently in our lives based on the direction you have given us in your word. Help us to be obedient children as we continue to pursue that path of holiness. In Jesus' name, amen.